In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again about the tempering of souls. Every one of us is living in a situation where it is possible to be tempered into a steel blade, strong, hard, elastic, for the Lord's use. But we have to be willing to submit to the fire and to the ice water, to endure hardship, as Paul put it, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There isn't very much of the spirit of endurance and soldierhood in most of us Christians today, I don't think. I realize how easily I'm tempted by luxury, by soft things. Now, there's nothing wrong intrinsically with luxury and soft things. But what a terrible temptation it is for us to become lovers of luxury and lovers of softness. The unwillingness to endure hardness makes it impossible for us to be true soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be taking up a cross and following him. Do we imagine that a cross will ever be comfortable? We're always so interested in doing what feels good, doing what feels comfortable. It's amazing to me how often I hear Christians use the phrase, "Do you feel comfortable with this?" Well, very often I don't feel comfortable with the will of God, but that has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not I should do it. The Apostle Paul used this phrase in the beginning of one of his epistles, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." And I think he thought of that as a title of honor. In another place, he calls himself a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India that we've been talking about, longed for men, for co-workers. She had been praying for years that the Lord would send her men who were like tempered steel. The Lord had given her little boys to take care of, boys who had been in danger of being used for homosexual purposes in connection with the Hindu temple worship of South India. And she needed men to be examples to them, to be leaders, to be brothers, to be fathers. And there were two young men, brothers from England, by the name of Webb Peploe. There was Godfrey Webb Peploe and Murray Webb Peploe, who was a physician, and she prayed that the Lord would give her these men. They had come to visit Donavur, and she began to pray with great longing, but she hardly dared to pray for one of them because he was on his way to China as a missionary. And then, in a most amazing way, the Lord brought him back to Donavur, and these two brothers were part of God's answer to Amy's prayer for strong men. Someone has said manliness is not mere courage. It is the quality of soul which frankly accepts all conditions of human life and makes it a point of honor not to be dismayed or wearied by them. I'll read that again. Manliness is not mere courage. It is the quality of soul which frankly accepts all conditions of human life and makes it a point of honor not to be dismayed or wearied by them. Do you know some really manly men? Am I speaking to some truly manly men? It doesn't mean that you have to have a particular kind of build. It doesn't mean that you have to be over 6 feet tall or handsome or muscular. It does mean a willingness to accept the conditions of human life. Amy Carmichael spoke of that secret discipline, which is appointed for every man and woman whose life is lived for others. No one escapes that discipline, she wrote, nor could wish to escape it, nor can any shelter another from it. And just as we have seen the bud of a flower close round the treasure within, folding its secret up, petal by petal, so we have seen the soul that is chosen to serve fold round its secret and hold it fast and cover it from the eyes of man. The petals of the soul are silence. Now, Amy Carmichael was very reticent and very careful not to draw attention to herself. So careful that she drove me crazy when I was trying to write her biography, because I kept trying to read between the lines all the things that I wished she had told us about that she didn't. And I'm pretty sure that the secret discipline that she is referring to in this paragraph was singleness. I know that she had had at least one proposal, and she had given her life to the Lord to serve him as a single woman. She prayed that the Lord would send men and women who would be willing to be single, and not to make a big deal out of it. The soul that is chosen to serve folds round its secret and holds it fast and covers it from the eyes of man. The petals of the soul are silence. She did break her silence a little one time when late in life one of the Indian women who worked and lived most intimately with her asked why she had not chosen what she called the other life, meaning marriage. She told Neela, the Indian woman, then, that a letter had come on the eve of her sailing for Japan. She didn't say who wrote it. She didn't say it was a proposal. She merely said that it looked towards what you call the other life. She waited quietly. Deep down in me, a voice seemed to be saying, "No, no, no, I have something different for you to do." She held to that word when her womanly heart longed for a man's love. One day in a cave in Arima, Japan, a day that she had spent praying with the Lord, and it was full of fear that day, fear of a lonely future. And it was as if the Lord brought to her mind then a verse from the Psalms, "None of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Again, after she arrived in India, there was another proposal, or at least the overture to a proposal. She didn't give her friend Neela any details. She didn't even use the word proposal. But she said it was the last time that the other life pulled. She added, it was not a question of giving up his service. It never had been that. And now what was, as others would have told me, such a good thing would have led out into wider opportunities than ever before had been mine. But it would have led out of India. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Shall I do this? And all I heard in answer was, no, 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 I have something different for you to do. And so the secret discipline of the single life was that which was appointed to Amy Carmichael. And I'm sure that the poem that she wrote must have had something to do with this particular secret discipline. O Prince of Glory, who didst bring thy sons to glory through thy cross, let me not shrink from suffering, reproach, or loss. The dust of words would smother me, be all to me anathema that turns me from Gethsemane and Golgotha. And these are the lines that I particularly love and had meant so much to me during my many long single years. If thy dear home be fuller, Lord, for that a little emptier my house on earth, what rich reward that guerdon were. And by the borders of my day the river of thy pleasure flows, the flowers that blossom by the way, who loves thee knows. Let me repeat the lines that I love the most. If thy dear home be fuller, Lord, for that a little emptier my house on earth, what rich reward. Then there was a couple who were engaged. The man had arrived in India before his fiancée. And for various reasons, the fiancée was not able to come out nearly as soon as she expected to. Illness and family problems prevented it. I read a good many letters that Amy Carmichael wrote to that woman. This is one of them. The Lord, who is your dearest of all, can satisfy. He can, he will. But he understands, and I do, those fierce aches for Jay. I am quite sure that he has you both in his most tender hands, so I am not anxious. She was told that men could not go without sexual satisfaction. Not that Amy Carmichael ever used a word like sexual, but certainly that was what they meant. Indian men cannot go without it. Maybe Englishmen can, they said. She wrote, "In our spiritual position towards our Lord and in his enabling power towards us, there is no difference between East and West." So it follows that if for Christ's sake and for the sake of souls for whom he died, any one of us, man or woman, gives up what he or she would naturally desire, a home of our own, the resources of his power flow equally to each. To say there is a difference is to say that his inspired word is not true, and that is a serious position to take. But they objected, "It's contrary to nature." "Yes, it is," she said, "but look at the plane. It is contrary to nature for tons of metal to rise above the earth and soar like a bird. What makes it possible?" "The presence of a power within which enables it to fly by its speed and pressure against the air. So with us, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.